Right, so we're here from the Teaneck area. Okay, so you'll appreciate how the story's going to start. Everyone else, hang in there. You'll pick up the shears though. It's a famous bakery in Teaneck. What's it called?
Butterflakes.
Okay, good. So Butterflakes Bakery is owned by a good old friend of mine. His name is Richie Heisler. We grew up together in Riverdale. So in Butterflakes Bakery has one of their most favorite delicious foods is chocolate chip challahs. So if anyone's tasted them, I personally hadn't tasted them for a while until somebody brought them to me for Shalach Manas a couple of years ago when Purim was on a Friday. And my wife decided to serve it Friday night for the Suda. So I made Kiddush, take off the challah covers, and I see there's this funny looking challah there with a lot of chocolate chips inside it. So, okay, I didn't think twice about it. So I started to cut it, and I see the chocolate oozing out all over the place. And I started thinking to myself, wait a second, this may not be challah. This may not be bread. The correct brach in this may not be hamotzi. If so, maybe it shouldn't be on the table for Lechem Mishnah. Maybe it shouldn't be used for Siddur Shabbos. Maybe it shouldn't be washing. Maybe it shouldn't be benching. So it got me started a little bit to think. So I thought I would share with you a little bit about the development of the halacha on what is the correct bracha to make on chocolate chip challah. And I've had this discussion with Richie himself as he asked me what I think about it. He wasn't so happy with the answer I gave him, but we'll see what see how things develop. So see if we can pass the shalom. I hope Richie should be Michael in case he's listening to the Shia. It's a great bakery. I strongly recommend it. We always buy a challah there, but not the chocolate chip. But we'll see. We'll talk as we go on. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos in the sixth parak, of course we know the basic halacha, that one recites a bracha of hamotzi on bread. Whatever is halachically considered to be bread, usually the definition of bread is not that complicated. There are certain, you know, certain complications in the sugya, but the basic definition of bread is fairly straightforward. You take something from the five grains of flour, wheat, barley, etc. You mix it with water, throw it to an oven, that's pretty much bread. Comes the Gemara and says, sometimes you can do that. You can take flour, take water, throw it to an oven, and what comes out is not necessarily bread. What comes out is what's called in halacha pas habo bekisnin. Some of you may have learned this term, may have heard this term a little bit. Pas habo bekisnin is strange because it's not quite bread. Proof positive that it's not quite bread, you don't make a motzi on it. You don't bench on it. And by extension, you don't wash on it either. However, the Gemara tells us, if you eat enough of it, and I'm going to be very, very hesitant how I'm going to define enough until a little bit later on this year, if you eat a lot of it, enough of it, a significant amount of it, then it is treated as bread, and you have to wash, hamotzi, and bench, etc. So it's a very, very strange type of entity called pasa bobekistin. So we have a lot of things vague, and I'm glad everything's vague at this point. Hopefully we're going to clarify some things. It's vague. We don't even know what the term means, possible bekisnin. If we bumped into one, we wouldn't be sure what it is, possible bekisnin. Number two, we have no idea as to how much is enough, how much is considered to be a significant amount to treat it as bread. So we really have our work cut out for us in terms of analyzing the sugya of possible bekisnin, which of course will become really the background to this shayla about the chocolate chip challah. What is possible bekisnin? What do the words mean? So we find in the Rishonim three different interpretations of possible bekisnin, really three different illustrations that are given to us by different Rishonim. What exactly is this phenomenon, the strange entity that's quasi-bread? Sometimes is bread, sometimes not bread. What exactly is it? So there are some Rishonim who describe something which is, if we want to give a modern-day example, we call it a cherry pie. They describe a cake type of a batter, in the sense of pie kind of a entity, with a fruit inside. So regular bread is just flour and water, just baked up as plain bread and matzah. But pasta bekisnin has a filling to it, has a fruit filling to it. That's the first example. So we're going to call it cherry pie. The Rishonim don't use the term cherry pie. We're going to use the term the cherry pie shita. That's one interpretation of pasta bekisnin. Other Rishonim give a different interpretation. They describe a type of a pastry that rather than just being flour and water, has sugar, has honey, has spices, flavoring. We'll call that, most of you probably never heard of, good old honey cake. No, honey cake is not a big food today, not a big delicacy today. But 50 years ago, honey cake, that was a food, honey cake. Tell you a story, you guys have heard of sponge cake, right? Sponge cake, marble cake. That's like in the old Hasidic shtibles, they serve for shal shudah, serve for kiddush. Marble cake. I always tell the story of my father. My father told me that when he was a bar mitzvah boy, it goes back almost 70 years, when he was a bar mitzvah boy, so the standard for bar mitzvahs was sponge cake and schnapps. That was it. But his parents felt, their son, they're going to make such a cheap bar mitzvah, they decided to up the standard a little bit. They served marble cake and schnapps. That was my father's bar mitzvah. Just in case any of you had a fancy bar mitzvah now, so you're ready for the next tier. So I'll tell you a story. It's about a 2 weeks ago, so I told over that story of Shir about the honey cake, about the sponge cake and the marble cake. I was laughing, and none of the boys ever heard of these kinds of things. It's not, we don't make this kind of stuff today. Last week, I was at a chasen in London, and at the chasen's tish in London, you know what they served? There was sponge cake and there was marble cake. And one of my tamidim was there. I said, "This is it. You see, this is the, let me introduce you. Okay, this is marble cake." Rabbi say, some Rishonim say, that's what Pasuk Bava Kistin is. Marble cake, honey cake. And other Rishonim say, no, you know what Pasuk Bava Kistin is? Pasuk Bava Kistin is like crackers. It's like plain, simple crackers. It's got bread. It's a little wafery, thin kinds of things that we would call crackers. That's Pasuk Bava Kistin. So we have three Pshatim, three interpretations of Rishonim. What's Pasuk Bava Kistin? Either cherry pie, honey cake, or crackers. What's the machlokas? What are they arguing about? So come a group of poskim and say, they're not arguing about anything. There's no machlokas. Each Rishon is giving you an interpretation of a basic halachic principle. You know what the halachic principle is? These are foods that are generally eaten as snacks rather than eaten as a meal. You usually don't sit down to have a sandwich with cherry pie. Put a slice of cheese on cherry pie. It doesn't go that way. You don't make a sandwich out of honey cake. You don't make a sandwich. Crackers are snack. What do they call them? Snack crackers. They're not meal foods. The basic definition of Pasuk Bava Kistin is really very simple. It's any food that's normally eaten as a snack is by definition called Pasuk Bava Kistin. In contrast, any food that's normally eaten as a meal is automatically labeled as pas, as lechem, as amotzi. So the examples are not really important. The illustrations are not really important. There's no machlokas. It's not there are different shitas. Each one is describing the same phenomena. They're all illustrations, all examples of the underlying halakhic principle. Meal food is amotzi. Snack food is mizonos. Snack food is the basic definition of Pasuk Bava Kistin. There are some very important halakhic ramifications of this statement. What if I have a type of a food that, technically speaking, meets one of these criteria? It has a filling to it, or it has flavoring and spices in it, or it is thin. Is that called Pasuk Bava Kistin? If it happens to be a meal food. What would that look like? So if you take these categories literally, seriously, you take them and say that, well, if it has a filling, it's Pasuk Bava Kistin, and it's mizonos. But do you say, no, I don't care whether it has a filling or not. Tachlis, it's a meal food, it's not a snack food. Therefore, it's bread, it's not Pasuk Bava Kistin, and it's a motzi. Give me some examples. Let's think of some examples. Let's think of some examples together. A food that has a filling to it, or I can substitute the word filling, has like a topping to it. I think everyone knows the direction I'm heading. It's a filling or a topping to it. On the other hand, it's a meal food. It's not a snack food. What's the example par excellence? Everybody say, pizza, there you go. A pizza has a topping. Or a calzone has a filling to it. What's the bracha on pizza? What's the bracha on calzones? Let's think. If you take the approach that, well, it has a topping, it has a filling, so it's possible to kiss it, so it's on a mizonos, unless you eat so much, we don't know how much that so much is yet. It's mizonos. So then pizza would be mizonos. Calzones would be mizonos. But if you take the approach, no, toppings and fillings are just usually representative of the fact that it's a snack. But if I have a particular topping and filling that is a meal food, then it's a motzi. It doesn't matter how much I eat. If I take a small bite out of a challah roll, I also make a motzi. If I need a kezias of a piece of bread, I also make a motzi. If I made a snack out of a roll, I also make a motzi, a washing bench. So if you define Pasuk Bava Kistin as snack versus meal, pizza by default automatically is a meal food. When do most people leave pizza? Most people, when the pizza store is most crowded? Lunch and supper time. Pizza's not a snack food. Once in a while, a person will snack on pizza. Most of the time, pizza is a meal food. Let's think of some other examples, some other kinds of foods that, technically speaking, may meet the criteria of quote-unquote Pasuk Bava Kistin, but they're meal foods. They're not snack foods. Let's take what's colloquially called the mizonos roll, instead we've spoken about recently, a mizonos roll. So what makes it a mizonos roll? That instead of making it in a normal way, flour and water, maybe I put juice in, maybe I put some spices in, I put some honey in, I put some sugar on it, whatever I put into it, that makes it a mizonos roll. Well, not so simple. And I interpret pasla bikistin literally, well, it has spices and sugar and juice in it, so it's pasla bikistin. But if you hold that, it has nothing to do with the spices and the sugar. Spice and sugar are just indicative of the fact that it's a snack. How could you call a mezonos roll a snack? When was the last time you got hungry in the middle of the night and you decided to look for a mezonos roll to snack on? Mezonos rolls are served as a meal. Everybody knows they're part of a meal. If you define pasla bikistin as snack versus meal, then mezonos rolls are going to lose. They're not going to be pasla bikistin. You're going to have to wash and bench on a mezonos roll. So a mezonos roll would be a misnomer. What about some other examples? What if I have a very thin, kind of a cracker almost, but nobody associates it as a snack. It's associated with a meal. What's an example? A very thin, crackery kind of a food. That's meal? Matzah. What brach do you make a matzah? So all Ashkenazim should know the answer to this question, although there are some Sfarim that make mezonos and matzah all year long, except for Pesach. But all Ashkenazim know, we make a bracha of hamotzi on matzah. Why do we make hamotzi on matzah? Isn't it like crackers? What's the difference between the snack crackers and matzah? What's the answer? I gave the answer. The snack crackers are snacks, the matzah is a meal. So if we're correct in our analysis that the real determining feature of pasla bikistin is meal versus snack, so we have a whole new approach to the sugya of pasla bikistin. We're not going to look at the ingredients. We're not going to look at the recipe. We're going to look at one question, one question alone. If that's the case, then get pizza hands down is a motzi. There's nothing you can do to pizza to make it into mezonos. So I'll tell you a story that happened to me. It happened to me years ago in Uri's Pizza. I imagine everybody here has probably been Uri's Pizza once or twice. In Geula, right? A little pizza store you go down in the step. No? On Mach Yisrael in the corner. The Bachar Baruch Hashem are sitting and learning this Shtayi Yom Balayel and open Rosh Hashanah for anything. Either that or they go to better pizza stores. Maybe that's why. But Lo Yitzu, you would ever go to Geula and you would find yourself eating pizza on Friday afternoon. There's a famous pizza store called Uri's Pizza. So Uri's Pizza, I don't know if they still have that sign, there used to be a big, big sign, bold letters that said, we make the, it said in Hebrew, we make the dough in a such and such a way that ain notun yadayim o bechaso mezoinus ain levorach bechas amazon. Oh, shikot Torah with footnotes and marmikoimus about how it's mezoinus. They were so convinced that they were right that if you try to find an etzilas yadayim cup in Uri's, it doesn't exist. Unless you're getting up to wash deglavas or something, you can't find it. There's no cup. So I remember I once walked into Uri's, it goes back, I was about your age. I went into Uri's Pizza, and the Pesach that I have for my Rebbeim is that you wash and bench on pizza no matter how much, because it's mamash like bread, because it's a meal food. I went into Uri's Pizza, went to go wash the Sedaim, had to scrounge around to find a paper cup or something. I washed the Sedaim, this little Yushalmi kid about this high, says to me, "Eh, Adoni, atalo, yodech likro. You don't know how to read the sign. The sign says, I love about Eretz Yisrael, is that everyone from everybody will tell you what you're doing is wrong. So I said, Kain, ani yodech likro, v'yishmach lokit al adin hazev. Kids, I didn't bother arguing with him. You'll fight with the little Yushalmi kid. He didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what I was talking about. But the mice at the bottom line is I still stick to my guns. Every time I go to Uri's, I still wash, make a motzi on it. And now my kids, who are about that age, scream at me, "Ah, but can't you see the sign? The sign says mezonos." I said, "We've been there, done that already. The bracha is a motzi." There is a story, again, it may be a legend, I'm not sure what's actually happened now, but there's a supposed story that happened to Ryan Lichtenstein, that he was once on a plane, and they served him mezonos rolls, like they always do, and he got up to go wash, and one of the stewardesses said to him, mister, maybe you should speak to one of the rabbanim in Israel when you get there and find out, what the correct bracha these things are. I guess, what can you do? Anyway, I always find it humorous. Years ago, they used to just put the mezonos rolls in and said mezonos. Now, there's an unbelievable chav. You know what it says? You ever read on the little small lines that comes, with the kosher airline pack? So it says, there is a dispute amongst the poskim as to what bracha to make on these rolls. Therefore, consult your own posek. I'm flying over the Atlantic Ocean. they just announced I have to turn off my emails, I have to turn off my BlackBerry. Who am I supposed to consult? Very, very strange. Anyway. So everybody say, according to the assault that we're saying, a lot of these foods that we have are not really possible because of them. But there are a lot of foods out there that are possible because of them. Let's say, for example, cookies, cake, snack crackers. Those are real possible because of them. I'll throw an interesting shaila to you. What would you say about pretzels? I don't mean the little pretzels in the bag. The big, fat, juicy, soft pretzels. What do you think they are? You think they're possible bikistin or not? It's a funny shaila. You know why it's a funny shaila? Think about it for a moment. It's the flip side of pizza. What do I mean by that? Why is a soft pretzel the flip of pizza? A soft pretzel is a snack. Nobody says that. It's not a meal. It's a snack. On the other hand, it's not thin like the crackers. Doesn't have a filling like the cherry pie. Doesn't have the sugar and spice like bunny cake. So it doesn't have any of the details of pasababikis into it. But it is pasababikis. It's snack food. So what's the din? What bracha do you make on a big pretzel? So I think it's the opposite of what bracha you make on pizza. For the people who think that pizza is still mezonos, those people in Uri's Pizza who paskin that pizza is mezonos, because they paskin that pasababikis means it has to have these criteria. It doesn't matter, snack, meal, beshme, it doesn't matter. If it has these criteria, it's possible. Kistin. If you make mezonos on pizza, what's the bracha on the pretzels? Hamotzi. But if you make hamotzi on the pizza, then you make mezonos on the pretzels. That's what I think is the halacha, without any question. That's, I have no qualms. Whenever I don't eat those pretzels too much, but if once in a while I munch on one of those pretzels, I will make a mezonos on them because I'm a big believer in making hamotzi on pizza. I remember once somebody asked me a question. I remember I was standing in an elevator somewhere and somebody came into the elevator and said, "All right, Mr. Lovsky, I want to ask you a question. What bracha do you make on the big soft pretzels?" So I asked him a question. I said, "Bro, what bracha do you make on pizza?" So the guy figured, aha, he's going to outsmart me. He thought, "I'm going to give him a kula. If he says he makes mezonos, then he's going to be mezonos." So he said, "Oh, Rabbi, I make mezonos on pizza." I said, "Well, guess what? For you, the bracha is hamotzi." And I got off the elevator. See you later. For me, the bracha is blah. The guy didn't know what I was talking about. Couldn't figure it out. So Purim shtickle tarp, but that's the answer. That's the answer. So if I say, bottom line, I got this food that's possible because I got my cookies, my cakes, my snack crackers, I'm all ready to roll. It's possible because I make mezonos. Alamichya. There's no washing, no benching, no hamotzi. But the Gemara says if you eat a lot of it, then everything changes. How much is considered to be a lot? What's called kevius su'uda. The amount that's considered to be setting a meal. If I take a snack food and turn it into a meal in effect, I'm kevaya su'uda on it, then everything changes. Then it becomes hamotzi, then I have to wash, I have to bench, then it becomes a real makor, then it becomes bread. Now we have the multi-million dollar question, how much is kevius su'uda? How much do I have to eat? How do you define a su'uda? What is the definition of a su'uda in halacha? The Gemara doesn't say, the Rishonim don't say. How do we know, how can we make this determination? It's going to make all the difference in the world. I'm sitting and munching on some crackers, I'm munching on some cookies, I make mezonos. But I sit down, I eat an entire box of Entenmann's cookies, do I wash and bench? Do I make a motzi on it? What's the din? What's the halacha? What point do we reach kevius su'uda? So here we have a whole series of different opinions in the Gedolei HaPoskim, how to define precisely what su'uda means. So some poskim say, we look to another area of halacha. And you know what the other area of halacha is? Hilchas challah. Hilchas challah means, if I bake bread, matzah, I take flour and water, and make a big dough, I have to separate a small part. In the olden days that we give it to the Kohen, now everything is tameh, so we just burn the challah. There's a mitzvah. Lahafresh challah. Many of you may have seen a fresh challah. Maybe you've seen your mother do a fresh challah. Go to matzah bakeries. Go to regular bakeries. A fresh challah. Good. Be mafresh challah. The halacha is you only have to be mafresh challah if the isa, if the dough is large enough. If the dough is large enough to be the amount of two meals worth, how much is considered to be the amount of two meals? So the Mishnah says challah tells us it's the equivalent of flour, volume of flour of 43 1/5. Beitzim, okay? It means eggs. 43 and a fifth eggs worth of flour, not how many eggs you put into the flour, but that amount of flour, a volume, that's chayv el challah. If you make a dough that's smaller than that, then it would be potter from challah. Most yeshiva guys don't have a clue how much. You take a look at a roll, and if I'd ask you how much flour is in this roll, couldn't give an answer. If I'd ask you how much flour is in this piece of cake, you wouldn't have a clue. Remember when I first got married, so my wife was baking up some brownies. So according to many posts, we have to be mafresh challah not only on bread, we have to be mafresh challah on cakes also. It's a whole question about that. So my wife is baking up some brownies. So I asked her, were you mafresh challah? I figured it's the first time. No, wow, exciting. Mafresh challah. She looked at me like I was crazy. She said, I learned that you're only supposed to be mafresh challah if you have 43 and a fifth eggs worth of flour. So I was looking at the brownies. I said, well, this looks like approximately, about 50 eggs worth of flour. She said, it's maybe 5. Maybe 10. She said, you don't have a clue. Go back to the base medish. Go learn Maseches Challah. But I'm telling you, let me run the kitchen. So that's usually, so that's the deal I have with my wife. She does the cooking, I do the eating, and we're all, everyone's happy. Okay. Just in case she's listening to Why You Torah. That was a big plug for the Sobolovsky at home. Okay. Anyway, get back to the story. So, if two meals worth is 43 and a fifth egg, so you do your math. I know you guys have been out of high school for a little while, but half of 43 and a fifth is how much? I'll test you. 21 and 21 and 3 fifths. Okay, I've been out of high school longer than you guys. Okay, whatever. Yeah, right, okay, good, good. Listen, the last math I did in high school was that last trigonometry regions that I was sweating over, but I think I still remember how to add. Okay, 23 and 3 fifths. What? That's what I said, 21 and 3 fifths. Okay, that was without a calculator, don't have to figure that out, okay? One day this week, my last week when I was home, so my little boy was in third grade, so he had this big math sheet to do. He had a lot of problems for, I couldn't figure out how to do the math sheet. So he was running around the house looking for a calculator. So he said to him, but you're not supposed to do the calculator. He said, well, the teacher never said I'm not allowed to do the calculator. I said, you think the teacher wants you to learn how to add with a calculator? I said, what happened to basic skills called 2 and 2 is 4? No, oh, has to check on online to see how I had to add 2 and 2. It's a whole very different world. Anyway, so Rabbi said, getting back to the story. So some poskim say, if 2 sudas is 43 and a fifth, 1 suda is 21 and 3 fifths. That's called kaviya suda. So unless you eat 21 plus eggs worth of flour, of cake, or cookies, you don't have to wash a bench. That's a lot of cookies. One thing I can tell you, you're going to get a big stomachache before you reach that point of washing and benching. If that would be the halacha, then you can eat basically to your heart's delight, and you don't have to worry at all about washing and benching any cookies or cake. But for other poskim say it's not true. Other poskim say the shear is not so big. The shear is much, much smaller. Based on a technical halacha in terms of Chas Erevin, the shear is closer to 3 or 4 eggs, perhaps. Oh, 3 or 4 eggs. That's a few cookies. A couple of good brownies. A couple of good, you know, one good box of Entenmann's cookies and you've reached it. You have to wash and bench. That's it. I am the works, according to that opinion. How do we poskim? Do we poskim 23 and a half? Do we poskim 3 or 4? So the answer is we probably poskim somewhere in the middle. And the somewhere in the middle is the position that's taken by Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe suggests the shear is as follows. It's not an objective shear in the sense of X amount or Y amount. But rather, it depends on the time and place. How much food does a normal, regular person eat at for his regular meal of the day? That's considered to be kadei kaviya suda. Not how much bread you eat, how much food do you eat? So what's a normal meal of the day? Let's go to America for a second. In America, would we consider the main meal of the day to be breakfast? Breakfast. You grab a brownie if you're lucky, or you know, a cup of coffee and yogurt maybe if you're a little more health conscious, and that's it. If you really got all the time in the world, you sit down and have your bowl of cereal. Breakfast is not the main meal in America. Lunch, I mean, in the working world, you know, unless you have a lunch meeting or something, you know, lunch, you grab, you're lucky, a sandwich, something, a snack, grab something or a break. Come over to America, eat supper. That's the main meal. So in Eretz Yisrael, everything is the opposite. Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, here they run the Israeli or the American style. Lunch is flesh,
most
is milk.
Most days,
yeah. I'll tell you the truth. You know, I was telling Jonathan that it depends on the year. You know, usually when I come here, so I do the yeshiva rounds. So depending on our schedule, every year is a little bit different. Sometimes they end up eating lunch in Gruss, you know, the YU campus in Yerushalayim, and sometimes they end up eating dinner in Gruss. It just depends on how things schedule and goes. So I know the years that I end up eating lunch in Gruss are always tough years for me. I'll tell you why. Because that means I eat lunch in Gruss, they're on the American schedule. So they serve milchig lunch, and I always end up speaking most of the Israeli yeshivas, so I carry out in the Gush, and I end up eating a milchig supper as well. So I can go a whole week without eating fleshiks. But in the good years, so when I end up on the road during the daytime, and they end up back in Gruss at night, because then I get fleshik lunch at the yeshivas, and I get fleshik supper at all. So I get cholesterol, my wife may not be too happy about that, but at least I gained 1 or 2 pounds on the trip. So each year is different. This year, I don't know, this year we're still trying to play it by year. We're doing it. It's a traveling both lunch and supper this year. It's a busy, busy, busy season. So what's the main meal? Say in America, make it easy for us. In America, what's the main meal? Not breakfast, not lunch. Supper. That's the meal. Rav Moshe says, everybody knows. I'm sure I'm describing exactly what goes on in your house. Everyone comes home, everyone sits around the table, and we sit down and we talk over dinner. Yeah, right. I don't know. In my house, dinner is a hefkervelt, you know. I come running in at 10 o'clock at night, and my wife's coming running out, and one kid's coming up from school, and one kid's running to go play ball, and one kid's going to go swimming. There's no, summertime doesn't exist in most houses. But in Ravish's days, back in the Lower East Side, Ravish sat down and ate dinner with his family. So Ravish describes dinner. That's the main meal. So Ravish says, how much does a person eat for dinner? So let's go through a typical meal. Tuesday night meal. I don't know, what's a good typical Tuesday night meal? Leftovers from Shabbos still. So you got a little bit of, you find a little bit of chicken soup that's still left over from this Shabbos or last Shabbos. You find some chillin' that's left over. You find a little bit of chicken that's left over. And when you run out of everything, who here lived in Tidek again? Who lives in Tidek? Okay, where do you go when you run out of everything? It's called chopsticks. You know, order in for Chinese. I said, you know, I make fun of my kids. My kids are, I just mentioned it's another shift. I forgot already where I spoke about this. But see, it's all in my heart. I can just see what my credit card bill is going to be when I get back. So my kids already know my credit card number. This is a bad thing to know. And they also know the phone number of chopsticks. So there have been times when we've gotten deliveries. You know, I'm sitting in the house, you know, minding my own business, and some guy comes and delivers Chinese food to the house. I said, who sent you? Well, your son called. My son, he's 6 years old. I said, yeah, well, he called it in. He called in the credit card, and he wanted, you know, two portions of jumbo sesame chicken for dinner tonight. It's a new world out there. I can just imagine. That's when I'm home. Who knows what's going on when I'm away? I know the number of Butterflakes also. They order chocolate chip challah for dessert. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, so Rabbi Isa, getting back to the story. So, dinner, you make a cheshbon, you know, a little bit of a main dish, some salad, some soup, a side piece of kugel, a little bit of dessert. How much is that approximately? That's hard to tell. Rabbi says, if you sit down and eat that amount of cookies, then you have to wash a bench. If you have that amount of cake, that amount of snack crackers, you have to wash a bench. That's the shear, says Rabbi. Again, according to Rabbi's psak, the shear is not objectively 3 or 4 eggs, not objectively 21 plus eggs. The shear depends according to the time and place. That's considered to be the amount of possibilities. Most of the time, it's not relevant for us. I mean, very rarely, a guy sits down and eats so many cookies, so many crackers. Not that common. But now it becomes a little bit more late. It becomes a little more exciting. Comes the Magen Avraham, talk on the side of the Shulchan Aruch with the Big Chiddush. Comes the Magen Avraham and says, what's the din if I take something that's possible to get? Let's say chocolate chip cookie. According to all opinions, it's possible to get snack food, chips. Chocolate chip cookie, not challah. Chocolate chip cookie. And I sit and I have a chocolate chip cookie together with other kinds of foods. I have a kazayis of cookie, but I have it together with some tuna fish, with maybe a piece of herring for the old-timers, a piece of potato kugel, maybe I throw in some salad on the side for the health-conscious people. And I had one kazayis of cookie together with a lot of other foods. And it happens to be that if you add up, tally up everything together, that's approximately what a person eats for supper. Says the Magen Avraham, you have to wash the bench. I was kaveh asuda. Now, it's tricky. It's a chiddush of the Magen Avraham. Why? I wasn't kaveh suda on the chocolate chip cookie. I was kaveh suda on all the food using the chocolate chip cookie as part of the kaveh suda. Says the Magen Avraham, that's also called kaveh suda. You would have to wash and bench hamotzi the works on that. Anyone knows what I just described? I took a cookie, I took a piece of cake, and I had some egg salad, I had some potato kugel, maybe in the fancier ones I had some sesame chicken or something. What did I just describe? Kiddush, right? Low tier, first tier kiddush. The more expensive kiddush is. I had some buffalo wings. I had some, you guys know the stuff better than I. Sweet and sour meatballs, you know, sushi, kiddushes, right? Plain and simple kiddushes, you know, in most of our communities. But, you know, the halacha is kiddush makom suda. You have to have a little bit of mizonos also. So I was yotze. I had my piece of sponge cake and marble cake. So I had my cookie, and I had a kazayis cookie, because I'm very frum. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a kazayis and mizonos. So I had my kazayis cookie together with all the other food, says the Magen Avraham, have to wash and bench. Hamotzi. Doesn't sound good, right? I see a lot of faces. Guy goes to a smorgasbord. No. Takes some crackers or something, or maybe touches, has a little bit of cake in the chassan's dish. Besides that, he's walking around with having his sweet and sour chicken. He's having his Hawaiian chicken. He's having his sesame chicken. He's having his, he's at the carving stations. He's on a roll. And he had some cookies and cake also. What's the Magen Avraham? You got to wash and bench. I see some people don't like what I just said. Well, let's see. Do we pass like the Magen Avraham or not? So many posts can say, we don't accept the Magen Avraham. Who says we follow the Magen Avraham? We don't pass like the Magen Avraham. That's what some posts can say. Rav Moshe said, we do follow the Magen Avraham. Hard for me to go fight it out. Come to Gedolia Poskim and say, even according to the Magen Avraham, let's analyze the Shiloh. Let's accept the Magen Avraham. That if a person has possible bekistin together with other foods, the other foods add up to make the shear, to make the amount to wash and bench. Comes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and says, that only makes sense if the other foods are complementing the possible bekistin. It's a type of possible bekistin that's eaten together with the other foods. Let's say crackers. You know, an old style kid, guy comes, has some of the those temtem crackers, and he has some egg salad on the crackers, and some tuna fish on the crackers, and some white fish on the salad. Those foods are being complementing, they're eaten together with the crackers. Says the Shlomo Zalman, that's called possible bekistin. That's called the Magen Avraham, that's called kaveh suda. But if a guy has a piece of cake, has a piece of 7-layer cake, and then he has a piece of potato kugel, then he has some white fish salad or something, There's no connection. When was the last time you put white for salad on your 7-layer cake? So there's no shaychus. They were eating at the same kiddush, but they're not connected. There's no connection between them. Therefore, they don't join together to become a kedekri yisuda. So Shlomo Zalman is accepting the Magen Avraham, but limiting the Magen Avraham. So again, some rejected the Magen Avraham altogether. Others accepted the Magen Avraham, but limit the application of the Magen Avraham. And Rav Moshe, not only did Rav Moshe Feinstein accept the Magen Avraham, but he extended the Magen Avraham even to a situation where there's no connection between the two. Rav Moshe said, you had a piece of a chocolate cake at the beginning, then you had a potato cook at the end, you got a problem, you got a washing bench. So according to Rav Moshe, we got big problems with Kiddushes, because Rav Moshe has all the chumras here. He says, we're treating possible Bekistin as, you don't need 21 and a half eggs. Whatever's normal Kaviya Suda is enough. And he's following the Magen Avraham. And he's following his version of the Magen Avraham. According to the Pesach Rav Moshe, Kiddush is going to be a big problem. How do you get around the problem? How do you solve the dilemma of a Kiddush? So one way of solving the dilemma is don't eat so much. We don't like that solution. How can you eat to your heart the light of the Kiddush and not run into problems? Any ideas? Any suggestions? You have to eat mezonos. You must eat kizayis mezonos, or else you're not yet to Kiddush b'makom Suda. You could do that, okay. I mean, you're trying to avoid that. Make your life easier.
Yeah,
so one opinion Rishon says a reason one is good enough kiddush. Kivega writes, we try to avoid that also. Any suggestions? Question, is that real? I'm not sure that helps, really. Go from one end of the room to the other, I'm not sure that helps. So I got another idea. I'm going to eat mezonos, but the type of mezonos I'm going to eat is not going to be possible because then. That's interesting. So I could be Yotze Kiddush Bakam Suda without running to Pasuk Kisnin. How do I do that? Not every mezonos food is possible to Kisnin. Remember how we originally defined bread? It's flour and water put into an oven. What if it's not flour and water put into an oven? What if it's prepared through cooking? Maybe it's not possible altogether. It's not possible to Kisnin. What if it's what we call pasta? Pasta's not possible. It may sound like pasta a little bit. It's not possible to Kisnin. Pasta's not possible to Kisnin. Noodles are not possible because then, for those a little more Yiddish, Machsidish, Lokshin, it's all the same thing. Lokshin is not possible because then, how do I know that that's true? There's a Taisus that says it. There's a Taisin Brachas, believe it or not, Taisin Brachas says, some of you may have seen a Taisin case before, Taisus gives you a lot of old French words. Anyone here knows old French? Nobody here knows old French, including the people in France. It's outdated language. It's like English, like old English. Nobody talks Chaucer anymore. So old French. The only people who know old French are the people who know Rashi. The Rashi gives you an old, an old French word for something, and they say, this food, everybody knows, is not pas. You don't have to wash a bench in this. What is the food? Some old esoteric. It's good, makes you good. You'll feel like a moshav. Attractive, they're harvesting the wheat now. So comes, tells and says the following food is not hamotzi under any circumstances. What is it? Unclear. I'll give you an old French word. So what do you do when you see an old French word in Russian? Tell us, where do you go? Anyone know? In the back of the Gemara there's a Metargim. The Metargim gives you a translation. What's the problem with using the Metargim? It usually gives you the old German, not even Yiddish. It gives you the old German word. Now, if you know Yiddish, so you may luck out. You know, you never know. Those who have been in Germany, so I've been in Germany a couple of times. So the only reason why I can get along in Germany for sometimes is that I know a little bit of Yiddish. So some of the words are the same. Some of them are not. So you got to use your imagination. So the Metargim uses the German words. Sometimes you luck out, sometimes not. Here we luck out. Because the Metargim gives us the following word. Lamed Aleph Kuf Shin Aleph Nun. You know what that means? Lokshin, in case you missed it, they give you another word. Nun vav dalad ayin lamed. Noodle. noodle and lokshin, I think we figured out what those words mean. If you eat lokshin, so lokshin is not pas. Bechlal not pas. Oh, now we're in business. You can have all the noodles in the pasta that you want. So now it depends on the type of kiddush. If you go to the more hamish or shtibel kind of kiddushes, you get some lokshin kugel. So eat a lokshin kugel to your heart's delight, and then eat as much cholent and chicken wings and anything else you want to eat. Just stay away from those cookies and cakes. As long as you ate a lot of lokshin kugel, you had mezonos, you had the kizayis, you can eat whatever you want. It's no possible of kistin, no problem. Alamichia, no washing and benching. If you go to a more health-oriented, more modern kiddush, you may not see lokshin kugel. What will you see? You see pasta. Pasta is basically a newfangled lokshin. Go for the pasta, and then eat to your heart's delight. So, Lafian Yazdaiti, the safest way to navigate the Kiddush is to stay away from the cookies and cakes. The bakeries are not happy. Rich is not happy about that psak. But the Lafian Yazdaiti, if you want to be able to eat more of the real food, stay away from cookies and cakes. Eat more of the pasta, less of the cookies and cakes. That's Lafian Yazdaiti. Those who like cookies and cakes, got to decide whether you want to follow the Magen Avraham or not. Rabbi, based on what we're saying, can we see another serious problem with the quote-unquote mezonos roll? We had serious reservations. We thought mezonos roll was a misnomer. We thought it was a motzi roll. But it's even according to those who say it's a mezonos roll, it's not a mezonos roll. Why? You eat with the meal. You eat together with the rest of the meal. So you kaveh suda on it. So the whole thing is a sham. The whole thing is not true. So you don't have to consult your local posting about what bracha to make on. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is it's a joke. It's a motzi. Everybody knows it's a motzi. It always was a motzi. It never was mezonos roll. But again, not everyone agrees, so I don't want to take any sides in the airlines. Rabbi said this was all the introduction to the shir. This was all to get to the punchline. You got to go back to the chokhot shibchala. Let's analyze the chokhot shibchala. What bracha do you make in chokhot shibchala? So you look at chokhot shibchala and you have to ask yourselves. It looks like pretty pasta baba kistin. It's got fillings. It's got top things. It's got flavorings. It looks pretty pasta baba kistin. Is it a meal or is it a snack? If you were not a frum person and it wasn't shaped like a challah and you saw this thing in a bakery. In a million years, you would never say, oh, great, I want to have a tuna fish sandwich. Can you please make me that tuna fish sandwich on that chocolate chip challah? And the guy's nuts. You'd say, oh, good, Baruch Hashem, I finished my meal already. I'm full. I'm looking for a little bit of dessert. Well, let's take a look. Should I get that jelly donut? Should I get those chocolate chip cookies? That looks like a nice piece of chocolate chip pastry. Let me get that piece of chocolate chip pastry over there. No question about it. It would be more cake than it is bread to an average person. Therefore, it appears to me that chocolate chip challah is not challah. Chocolate chip challah is not bread. Chocolate chip challah is halachically cake, is halachically cookies. Now, can you use it for Suda Shabbos? So for Suda Shabbos, you have to wash a bench. You have to have something you can make hamotzi on. Well, can you make hamotzi on chocolate chip challah? It depends. If you just have one slice of it, then not. But if you have kedei kaviyah suda of it, then you can. If you want to sit down and eat 20 chocolate chip challahs, that's fine. That would be kedei kaviyah suda. But what if I don't want to do that? I want to eat the rest of the meal. I'm going to have a piece of chocolate chip challah. Then I'm going to have my gefilte fish, and my soup, and my chicken, and my salad, and my lokshinkugel, or whatever, and my dessert, and everything. So all together, I ate kedei kaviyah suda. According to the Magen Avraham, I'm home free. Maybe. According to Rav Moshe, I'm home free. According to Rav Moshe, that all the foods combined together, even though no one would ever eat a piece of potato kugel or chicken soup together with chocolate chip challah, according to Rav Moshe, it doesn't matter. So it's the same meal, it's all the same time. It's all mitzvah, it all joins together. You wash and bench. According to Rav Moshe, you can make a case that you can wash and bench on the chocolate chip challah. You can use it for lecha mishnah.
Two questions. So based on all this, like somebody would have, you know, 3 to 4 bowls of bran flakes, for example. So theoretically, you should have to actually wash it then, because he's A, could be a suda. B, he's actually had, you know, in other words, even though the possible kissing.
Okay, so bran flakes are probably not even possible because them. Bran flakes and cereals are what's called lacking tzuras apas. The Gemara says something that so doesn't resemble the bread family, even though it's flour and water, would also not be considered to be even possible because them. So you could probably have as much cereal as you want. There's a shout about Cheerios. There was someone who wanted to argue that Cheerios have tzuras apas. Cheerios look like bread. Why? They look like little bagels. I thought that was a big joke. I said, when was the last time you came to a bris and you sat down and they served you, they do serve Cheerios, but try to put a piece of lox and cream cheese on your, very small. For the dieters, you know, Weight Watchers, bris.
What about, let's say you go to the Kiddush and you have everything else, and at the end, you decide you want to have a brownie.
But that's part of the same. Ramosha holds it happens to be part of the same. One can argue with Ramosha on that point. I think most people disagree with Ramosha on that nakuda. That if you have it at the beginning, so then you can argue everything is mitzvah. If you have it, Mamosha is an afterthought for dessert, then maybe one can argue that's not mitzvah. Maybe. But Ramosha himself says not the way. Ramosha says that if you sit down and eat a regular meal, a full meal for supper, and then you have a brownie at the end, you have to bench. So Ramosha's
pesach. Wait, do you have to wash it?
Well, then you would have to wash. If you can eat that brownie, then you have to wash it. Most people are not knowing that far.
So like your story with the Talmud, with the pizza pretzel story, if someone wanted to use the chocolate chip challah and rely on Rav Moshe, so he has to accept Rav Moshe also.
That's right, but the Kiddush is right. You know, somehow this guy the next morning, yeah, the next morning.
He has saltines with his tuna fish.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Great. I got problems, that's right.
I've heard that pancakes can also be somewhat of an issue. You are probably a pseudo with them, but it's for breakfast, you wouldn't have pancakes.
But pancakes may be a little bit of a different story because pancakes are not really baked. Pancakes are poured as a batter.
Donuts,
Lafini's diet, they're not possible to be kissed either.
So you can have
donuts, right? You have kids, right? You can have as many donuts as you want. Donuts are not, they're not possible. Only real donuts, like the Entenmann's donuts, are not real donuts. Entenmann's donuts are just cake. They're just sponge cake with some chocolate on them. But real Dunkin' Donuts are not possible to kiss either. According to most posts, right? Yeah. So guys, let's just finish up, then we'll take questions. So it would appear to me that those who follow Rav Moshe through and through, in theory, could use the Shochet Chalas for Hamotzi, for Lechem Mishnah and Shabbos, and then just have the rest of the meal with it in Yotzei through the Shabbos. But number one, we're not sure the Magen Avraham is accepted. Not in there. Poskim would disagree with the Magen Avraham. And even within the Magen Avraham, if Shlomo Zalman said the Magen Avraham would never say it, if it's a type of possible b'kis, you don't eat together with the food. Therefore, it would appear to me that the more correct thing to do is you should buy the Shochet Shabchal, you should patronize butterflakes and serve them for dessert. That's what we do in our house. We, if and when we ever get the Shochet Shabchal, I don't use them for Lechem Mishnah. Those who want to nash on it during the meal, Tavo Lechem Bracha. Those who want to have it for dessert, that's also fine. But that should be the Lechem, that should be the bread that you're sitting down having said the Shabbos, I have some serious reservations about that. So again, Lafini is not the way to figure possible because it plays out. Yeah. Excellent, very, very good question. Excellent question. There seems to be a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Let's say you have a flour and water, and you put like eggs in. You put some other things into the dough. Put honey in, a little bit into the dough, but it's mostly flour and water. It's mostly pretty much has that meal kind of consistency. So that's a shaila. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say maybe that also may become possible because the Ramah doesn't all the way. Aminig is not the way. Otherwise, our egg challahs would be questionable. Our egg challahs of eggs put into this. That's a flour and water. So we assume that that's all. That's okay. We assume that's okay. Well, the question is, if something is really defined as bread and you just put a topping on after it's baked, that's not possible because that's a sandwich. So that we don't say that having a two different sandwich is possible for kistin because it's a filling. It means it has to be, the topping has to be as part of the baking, part of the process of making the bread.
When we were defining kovev v'suda, since if there was a person who actually ate a suda for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but they were just different portions, like his dinner was the biggest one and lunch was smaller, but it was still a suda, then a person who's eating, if you have a light breakfast generally, what if he was eating 5 cookies at 10 o'clock in the morning? Like, because then his suda is different at that time.
Right, there are some Rishonim who say you follow the individual. Most of Rishonim assume that you follow some kind of a standard of the Olam. So whatever, it's a subjective or objective, but it's some kind of an Olam-oriented standard. That's what we usually assume in halacha.
But the time does...
Right, the time, yeah, I don't know if the time really makes a difference. I think that objectively, is this considered to be a suda or not? The fact that I'm choosing to eat it at 2 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sure that makes a difference.
I want to share with you a little story that I told the guys the other day. Some of the guys when we were sitting and eating lunch, because it's very no good to the shir. And then I have two short questions. The story is that in a place I was learning in Yerushalayim when I was learning in Kollel, actually the year before I got there, I wasn't there the day of the story, the cook had made for lunch as a main course these long hot dogs in a blanket, hot dogs wrapped in phyllo dough. And everyone was looking at it, wondering what bracha to make on it. So the Rosh Hashiva there took one of them and he got in his car and he got in a cab and he went to Rishon Zalmanerva's house and he knocked on the door and he said,
"Mother,
the cook made this for lunch. This is the main course." Rishon Zalman said to make a motzi on it.
Okay, good. Rishon Zalman doesn't need my approval, but I would have said the same thing. Okay, good.
Okay, so that's just a story. It's a good story. The other thing is, every Friday, I eat a meal around noon. Late morning, where I sit down, and it's like my kavua thing, I have tuna with saltines. And that's my meal. I mix up a little bowl of tuna, and I sit there and eat it with saltines. Should I be washing on that?
I don't think so, because I think that's probably not the amount that you would normally eat as a real meal. In terms of the real meal kavua, it's by Friday, you're probably eating less than a regular meal,
right.
I imagine. So your real meal on a regular, I don't know whether you eat your real meal as lunch or as dinner. I don't know what's
dinner.
So your dinner...
No, it goes by what my biggest meal
is. I think so, yeah. That's what Moshe says, yeah.
The other thing is, what brought him to make on bagel chips?
Bagel chips are a tricky, tricky Shiloh. Bagel chips, the old bagel chips used to be made out of old bagels. That was the original, these days, the stale bagels. Now there's a whole multi-million-dollar industry to make bagel chips. So they made mitchilakach as bagel chips. So there are some who argue that even though they mamash made the same way, the flour, the water, the bake. But since they made bakach as a snack, there are some who argue the brachas mizonos. There are some rabbanim
who say. Melba toast.
Is Melba toast more of a snack, more of a meal? I don't know. So there are some who say mezonos and bagel chips. I'll tell you the truth, I'm not convinced. So I usually don't eat bagel chips. So,
and a wrap is a motzi.
A wrap, I think, is straight a motzi, yeah.
What if you put enough soup croutons in your soup
Well, croutons are the same shot as the bagel chips. That's, I don't mean the little yellow, that little osa ones. I mean the bread ones.
The little
yellow ones are not possible for kissing altogether because they're deep fried. They're not baked.
Really?
Yeah, that's why it's meant to put them in on Shabbos, according to all opinions. Even those who say you can't put bread in your soup on Shabbos, you're allowed to put the osa in little yellow tires because they're deep fried. Deep fried is like cooked. It's not like baked.
I was actually just read that in... that you were supposed to, that if like you cover it with croutons, you would.
What do you mean? You have to.
It's like it depends how much you put in.
In terms of emoti.
Yeah.
In terms of, well, it depends what kind of croutons. If you're talking about the little yellow croutons, I don't think they're even in the ballpark of being possible because they're deep fried, which is cooked. If you're talking about bread croutons, so I think that's part of the same bagel chip shot. It's the same basic question. So you have a salad, you have bread croutons in your salad. So that's a shot. It's not so posh. You have to make a mozi on even one of them. Not so simple. If it's more than kazayis, you have to wash. It's complicated. Shaila. I never order a salad, I never get the breakfast. Sometimes, you know, my daughter, sometimes she likes to buy salads. She always puts the croutons in. So sometimes left in a salad, I start to take the croutons out. So it becomes a big mess. That's why I don't like to share salads with her. But, she thinks the bracha is mazonah, so I'm not arguing with her. But I think the bracha would be a mozi, so we don't share salads too well.
So if you're in one of the situations, you would just, I guess, in the middle, just wash right then.
If what I mean, if you started eating cookies, well, that's a shalom. If you ate already, you thought you were just getting a couple cookies, then you end up eating another 100 cookies. So if you're going to keep on eating more, then you would have to wash. If you're going to eat more, of kedek could be a suit from here on in. If not, then you have a strange halacha. I made mizonos, and now I bench, and you don't have to wash. If I sat down, I thought I was going to have 3 cookies, and I end up eating 20 cookies, and I realize, hey, by golly, I just ate kedek suda, then I just bench at that point. So you made mizonos and you bench. It's not a contradiction.
You said something about not putting
challah
in your soup.
There's a big question, Rishon, whether you're allowed to put challah in your soup, because challah was never cooked, it was baked. So maybe a problem of bishul, maybe a question of bishul. The soup is hot, so that may be a challah. I didn't say it's a sure also. So that's a big question, Rishon, on many, many different grounds. Why should be asr or mutter? But little yellow croutons are probably mutter, according to all opinions.
Two questions.
Yeah.
In what time frame would you have to eat all this in?
That's a good question. Rav Moshe writes that as long as you eat the kezayis of the bread within what's called kedechilas pras, within a few minutes, even if you eat the rest of the food spread out, I mean, obviously, not a week from now, but it's probably pretty much the same yeshiva, the same pretty setting, the same kiddush, same shmogus board, some of that would probably all be mitzvah together.
So what if you're like learning and you're just munching on cookies for like 3 hours straight?
Probably not the best idea. For many reasons. Come on, we gotta get the food in the yeshiva. Come on. I don't want to say anything. I'm staying for lunch, so I don't want to say anything. What'd you say, guys? I'll flesh some milk, because that'll make my decision.
So, in terms of the airline food, yeah. Would it actually be a for sure suuda? Because the amount they give you in that little tray,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be considered?
One could argue, maybe the airline food is not enough. It's not enough. Right. They could be a suuda, maybe. Maybe it could be. One could also be mitzarif, maybe the fact that halach is if you eat something that's nifso mechilas adam, so it's inedible, so then the halach is not going to be a That's also possible as well.
Aren't bagels also cooked?
Bagels are cooked, but then they're rebaked. They're rebaked afterwards. The first, boiling water put on them. Yeah, and boiling may not even be anything because the boiling doesn't make them edible. They're not really edible at that point. They have to be rebaked anyway. So it's a gemara beferish. That's called chalot. That's called chalot bechai pechafal. That's bread lechalot.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a lunch now.
No pizza for lunch.
We have fleshy lunch only on Wednesday.
One time.